You are listening to WDOT for Washington. We have a very special edition of Sports Section. We have sportscaster and former Shriver student Kenny Albert on the line. Kenny, thank you so much for joining us today. And
no problem, brother.
We will be doing our Super Bowl 51 preview. This year's Super Bowl features the Patriots and the Falcons. So, Kenny, we'll start. What has impressed you about each of these teams this season and in the playoffs so far?
Well, I'll start with Atlanta because I worked their last regular season game against New Orleans, and I think they just have a terrific all-around team. You know, you look at the high-powered offense led by Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and terrific running backs, and their offensive line has done a great job. And in that game that I mentioned, Week 17 against New Orleans, they come out and they score touchdowns on their first four possessions. They really took it to the Saints. Defensively, it's a young group, but they've progressed as the season's gone along. I think they have a terrific coaching staff led by Dan Quinn, who has Long Island ties. He was a coach at Hofstra back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Raheem Morris is the wide receivers coach. He was a player at Hofstra during that time. So a local connection to the Falcons for you and your listeners. But really impressed with the entire package when you look at what Atlanta has been able to do this season.
Now, what about the Patriots?
Well, it all starts with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. You know, you look at what they've accomplished since 2001, and it's incredible the run they've been on, the fact that Brady has played in more Super Bowls than any other quarterback. If New England wins, it'll be Belichick's fifth as a head coach, and that'll set a record. So when you sit down and look at what the Patriots have been able to do since Belichick took over, it's just astounding.
And what do you think, or why do you think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have had so much success in the NFL?
You know, it's funny. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Would the Patriots have had as much success with only Belichick or only Brady? We'll never know. Brady's a guy who was, he lasted until the sixth round in the draft. So every team passed on him five times, and the Patriots finally take him in the sixth round, and he goes up to the owner, Robert Kraft, during training camp and says, "I'm the best decision that you've ever made." And it turns out that he was probably right. Belichick had the opportunity coaching Cleveland early in his career as a head coach. Things didn't go so well there. Obviously had great success as an assistant, as a coordinator under Bill Parcells with both the Giants, winning two Super Bowls and then getting back to one with New England in 96, the 96 season Super Bowl in January 97. But it's just been a terrific combination. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, head coaches of all time, and one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the history of the NFL.
And I think it's interesting because they've, you know, people on TV have been spending a lot of time dissecting, would the Patriots be, would you rather Belichick, would you rather Brady? You know, I just think they, both of them had so much success because, you know, it just worked out for them. I mean, people are going to, you know, analyze it, but I think it was just a good fit for them because if Belichick went to a different team or he didn't have Brady, I don't think he'd have the success. If Brady didn't have Belichick, I don't know if he would be as successful either. So I think if you look at it, it may have just been a good match, and they got lucky. So it'll be interesting to see if they can continue their success on Sunday. The defense they're going up in the Falcons has come on much better of late. What do you think has been the key for the Falcons' success on defense, especially in their two playoff wins?
Well, like I said, it's a young defense who improved as the season went along. Vic Beasley is a tremendous young player. And I think when you look at the leadership of Dwight Freeney, you know, a guy who's been there before, and when we had that Falcons game, Week 17, and sat down with some of the players and coaches, Beasley gave Freeney a lot of the credit for taking him under his wing and sort of acting as a mentor to him. So, you know, don't overlook what Freeney's meant to this defense. And it just developed, and you know, when you have an offense that scores as many points as the Falcons do, it also takes some pressure off the defense. So I think that's been a big part of it as well.
And for the Patriots, when we saw in two years ago in Super Bowl 49, they don't seem to really be fazed by playing top defenses. And although Atlanta's not a top defense, they definitely have momentum coming into this game. So why do you think it is that Tom Brady and the Patriots don't ever seem to have trouble against these top defenses or tough defenses?
Well, I think in the case of Brady, and similar with Peyton Manning in past years, he's seen it all. You know, you look at his career over the last 16 years, there's probably not a defensive scheme he hasn't seen, and he's gone up against, you know, some of the great players of all time, and, you know, sort of has that Rolodex in his head of plays that have worked for them before, and he's able to translate it over, you know, into the games, whether it's regular season or postseason this year. And with the Super Bowl, you have 2 weeks to prepare. You have that extra week of preparation. And you know that these coaches on both sides aren't getting much sleep as they get ready for the game on Sunday.
Who do you think has to have the biggest game for the Patriots in order for them to win besides Brady?
You know, we've seen unsung heroes throughout. You know, you look at what Chris Hogan did a couple of weeks back, a guy who was a lacrosse player at Penn State, only played 1 year of football at Monmouth. So those unsung heroes seem to, you know, come out for the Patriots whenever they make deep runs into the postseason. I look at Chris Long as a guy on the defensive side. He played 8 or 9 years with the Rams and averaged only 4 or 5 wins a year. He's so excited to be in this game, and I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Long has a big game on Sunday.
He was a free agent acquisition and another one of those veterans that really hasn't panned out, who I guess the Patriots took a chance on and it's paid off so far. See if it pays off more for them on Sunday. So this will be the first Super Bowl to feature the top scoring offense and the top scoring defense. What are you most looking forward to seeing on Sunday?
I just think it'll be a terrific game. I think it'll be high scoring. When you look at, obviously, what the Falcons have done this year and what the Patriots are capable of doing, and I'm looking forward to watching it. I'll be in D.C. for a hockey game, and hopefully things go well with the flight, and they get home in time for the opening kickoff.
Yeah, it should be an exciting game, hopefully more exciting than last year, because last year didn't really live up to the hype that was going on before. Who do you like in this game, and by what score?
I just think it'll be a great game, a close game. I stay away from predictions, Eric. You know, if we knew who was going to win the game, they wouldn't have to play it. So,
right.
Just hope it's a great game, and there'll obviously be hundreds of millions of people watching it around the world. And like I said, my one prediction is I think it'll be a high-scoring game.
Yeah, I actually should take that philosophy because my predictions are always wrong. And we had Len Berman on the show last year, did a Super Bowl preview, and he told us a story how, you know, he'll go to the deli, and the guy at the deli counter will ask him, you know, who he thinks is going to win the Giant game on the weekend. And the guy seems to think just because he's a sportscaster that he's supposed to have some inside knowledge on as to who's going to win the game. And there's no way to predict. There's no way to predict anything.
That's why they play him.
Yep. And just for the record, Len Berman has Atlanta winning 31-21, and I have New England winning 34-23, but they play the games for a reason, and hopefully it should be an exciting game. Who do you think, well, you don't like predictions, but who do you think is going to have the biggest game this weekend?
Well, I mean, it's hard to not point to the quarterbacks when you look at Tom Brady and his body of work throughout his career. And Matt Ryan, first time in the Super Bowl, so on the biggest stage of his life. We'll see how he comes out. The Falcons have been a fast-starting team. They set an NFL record for consecutive games opening drive touchdowns, and that streak is still intact. So, you know, the quarterbacks obviously are the key focus. Julio Jones on the outside for Atlanta had a tremendous season, and you know, Bill Belichick's trying to come up with a scheme to try and slow him down, but I think it'll be a big day for both quarterbacks.
Now, I'm glad you mentioned Julio Jones. We saw what the Patriots were able to do with Antonio Brown 2 weeks ago. So what do you think the Falcons are going to have to do to either get Julio Jones involved, or do you think they're going to have to find other components to that offense because Julio Jones isn't going to be much of a factor?
Well, I'm sure it'll be a combination. They have such a great running game with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, so they have great balance. And if the Patriots double-team Julio Jones, then somebody else might be open. So, again, Kyle Shanahan's done a terrific job, the offensive coordinator with the Falcons offense, and I'm looking forward to watching the chess match between Shanahan and Matt Patricia and Bill Belichick as it develops on Sunday.
Yeah, Belichick always seems to have a trick up his sleeve, and I guess we'll see if he has any, and if so, what that is. on Saturday night, they have the NFL Honors Ceremony. And the one award I want to hear your opinion on, who do you think is going to win the Coach of the Year award? Because there are a couple of good candidates for that.
There are certainly a lot of great candidates, and I know the voting's done following the regular season, but
right.
Postseason. So, you know, obviously you could probably vote for Bill Belichick every year,
yeah.
And Quinn will certainly get consideration. I think you have to look at Jack Del Rio in Oakland and the terrific job that he did this year, and definitely a couple of others. So it'll be fun to watch. You know, the NHL really started the trend with their award show about 25 years ago, and now the other leagues are started to do the same thing where they get everybody together in one room and hand out all the awards. So it should be a lot of fun watching that on Saturday night.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see. I think a underrated guy could be Adam Gase for the Dolphins, because I don't think people really appreciated what he did to that team, because not many people had expectations for them, and they made it to the playoffs, and although they didn't perform great, he still did a good job taking control of the locker room, it seemed. And getting them into the playoffs, so I think he could be a contender for that as well.
Yep, totally agree.
All right, so move on to hockey quickly. You were in Buffalo last night calling the Rangers and the Sabres. Rangers won 2-1 in overtime. Rangers did win that game, but they have been a bit inconsistent lately. So what do you think is holding the Rangers back right now from being a contender for the Stanley Cup?
I don't think anybody's holding them back. I think they're one of six or seven teams that have a great shot to go deep into the playoffs. The issue could be, Eric, that they're in the toughest division in hockey. When you look at Washington and Pittsburgh and Columbus, it's been the best division in the league this year, the Metropolitan Division. So once the playoffs start in April, it comes down, in my opinion, to three things: your health of your team, goaltending, and the matchup. So if you're the Rangers, you don't want to necessarily face Pittsburgh or Washington in the first round. If you're one of those teams, you don't want to face the other two. So,
right.
Henrik Lundqvist was tremendous last night. He bounced back from his prior game against Columbus on Tuesday night. They have great depth up front. They've been one of the highest scoring teams in the league all year. As we approach the trade deadline, if there's one area where perhaps they might look to upgrade, it could be on the blue line. But overall, it's been a terrific year. They lead the league in road wins, and they have 32 wins in 51 games. So, should be a lot of fun come playoff time.
Yeah, my biggest concern with them, and this was coming into the season, and it was highlighted last year when they lost in five to Pittsburgh, was defense, because they were putting Henrik Lundqvist in some really tough spots. They were giving up a lot of odd man situations, and they didn't really execute there. So that's my biggest concern in terms of defense. Do you think it would be benefit to them to play Montreal in the first round as opposed to one of the teams in their division?
You know, you have to be careful what you hope for.
Right.
You know, if you play Montreal, then you're up against one of the best goalies in the league in Carey Price. I know that some folks feel that might be the best route to finish with the wild card, finish fourth in the division, and then cross over to the Atlantic division and play the first place team there. But we'll see. I mean, you never know. They could wind up overtaking Pittsburgh, Columbus in the standings, and finish in second place. So wherever they finish, they finish. You know you're going to have to go through those teams anyway. If you get out of your division, then you might have to play Montreal in the Eastern Conference final. So as a late thing, you know, the Rangers coach always says it's a big step just to make it into the playoffs. Once you get there, any of the 16 teams can win. And for this Ranger core group, it's been such a tremendous five-year stretch, getting to the Eastern Conference final in 2012, the Stanley Cup final in 14. The East final again in 15. Last year, I don't think anybody would have beaten the Penguins, and they wound up winning the Stanley Cup. They were on such a roll in March and April and May and took it into June. But I think the Rangers, you know, they brought in a lot of fresh faces, some young players this year, and it's paid off as they've been one of the top five or six teams in the league right from the start.
All right, so we will see how the Rangers progress as the season winds down, or the regular season winds down. Okay, I just have a couple of questions about your broadcasting. You are, I believe, the only sportscaster to announce all four major sports. Which of those four is your favorite to announce?
No, I never really like to rank them. It's like asking which kid you like better if you have four kids.
Right.
I love them all. Football, there's only one game a week for each team, and it's such a special feeling at 1 o'clock on a Sunday when they kick off, and I've been fortunate to work now 23 years with Fox on the NFL side. Love hockey. That's the sport that I've been involved with for the longest period of time. Really enjoy basketball and baseball as well. I've had the opportunity to call tremendous playoff series the last 2 years with Texas and Toronto 2 years ago, the Dodgers and Washington last year. So it's a lot of fun. Very fortunate to be involved in all four, and really enjoy all of them. And whatever season it is at that time, that's my favorite, I guess.
Now, I know this may be a difficult question for you to answer, but of all the guys you work with in the booth, who do you enjoy working with the most?
You know, similar to my answer about the four sports, I've been real lucky to have some great partners through the years. My full-time partners now are Dave Maloney on the hockey side, and Darryl Johnston on football, and Tom Verducci and Harold Reynolds on baseball, Walt Frazier on basketball. But through the years, I've had the opportunity to work with Troy Aikman and Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and John Davidson and some of the other top analysts. So a lot of fun to work with those guys. A lot of them I watched play or coach as I was growing up. So real lucky to have the variety and the opportunity to work with all those guys.
All right. So I want to thank you so much again for joining me on my show. Hopefully we see an exciting game on Sunday. Hopefully the Rangers can make a deep run in the playoffs. And hopefully we see something special in the near future or something. So, Kenny, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully we'll be able to have you on again.
Thanks, Eric. Keep up the good work. It's hard to believe it's 30 years since I graduated, but glad to see the tradition of sports writing and broadcasting is still going strong.
Yes, it definitely is. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Eric.